Thank you very much for your warm welcome. I thank you for the worship that we've experienced. But I think we'll have a little time of prayer. Yes, let's have a time of prayer together. Dear Lord, you are our God, and tonight we come before you. But I'm sure, like others here, concerned perhaps about our numbers, dear Lord, that for some reason, this world, dear Lord, is keeping people at bay for many different reasons. One of the current things, I think, is Downton Abbey or whatever's on the TV at this current time that absorbs people, and they have forgotten what it says in Acts, dear Lord, where they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching for the breaking of bread and the sharing of wine, which is what we're going to do this evening. And dear Lord, your Son got upon a cross and took our sins to give us freedom. He allowed his blood to be poured upon this earth, dear Lord, so that your people might be free and come to you. And tonight, dear Lord, I'm sure all of our hearts feel the same. Where are your people? And we would ask you, we would plead with you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you would send your people to this place so that they, if they're lost, they would be found. If they've got broken hearts, they would be mended. If they are in pain and suffering, they would be given succor. And dear Lord, your joy. Because I've experienced joy amongst the people here, dear Lord. I know their hearts and their blessing that they are. Help them to be successful, Lord Jesus. Break down every barrier. Break down every hindrance to everyone who's outside this church so that they would come here to this well of righteousness so that they might sup from its water, dear Lord, of a place that flows with milk and honey because of the people who are here, who love you, who care for you, who have devoted their lives to you and desire God to be upon this earth. Dear Lord, answer our prayers, because we know there are so many people in this area suffering and struggling. And dear Lord, there is a place of light and succor here. If only that they would just turn their heads. Dear Lord, send your angels out and bring people here to find you. Well, what was the point of your sacrifice on that cross, dear Lord? In this Wales that we have today, dear Lord, that's going back almost to pagan times, where only 100 years ago we had such sweet revival. Forgive us for failing that revival, dear Lord, the generations that came after. And have mercy and smile upon us and walk the streets once again. And help us, dear Lord, to build a land for you. If you've got a few moments of quiet together with the Lord, that you might share with him from your heart to his heart what you desire here this evening, and that he would do in your life, the life of this church, and those perhaps who surround it. Let's spend a few moments of quiet with him. Lord Jesus, we praise you, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Lord Jesus. And we have faith that you will answer our prayers, Lord Jesus. And as your disciples came to you and they said, Lord, teach us how to pray, we now share your prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm sharing with you a reading that we had from this morning from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Ephesians 1, 3 to 14, lots of jargon words in here, but I'm sure by the time we finish our time together, we would know what they mean. That's Ephesians 1, 3-14. This is what it says in the Lord's Word. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Is now God good? For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ. And you ladies thinking, well, how can I be a son if you don the Lord Jesus Christ? When God sees you, he sees his son. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Remember, his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And he has lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you and praise you and bless you that you are God. You have gathered us together here this evening that you would speak to us. Dear Lord, we welcome you amongst us in praise and honor and glory. And we ask that we would see the face of Jesus here amongst us as your people, and that we would understand your word, for we welcome the Holy Spirit, the author of your word, who would explode that in front of us, dear Lord, so that we might understand who and what God is saying. For we have asked here this evening, give us this day our daily bread. We thank you and praise you, and God's people said, well, thank you for your loving fellowship today. I know Terry and myself were saying it was a blessing to be amongst you. I don't know if you receive much blessing from us, but we have a great amount from you. It's fantastic. And we thank you so much for that. We feel part of your family, which is wonderful to experience. Now, if you attended this morning's preach, you would know that really today is about being chosen. But have you ever considered, well, if you are chosen, if you believe that you are chosen, then how should that affect you, especially with your relationship with God? Well, the first thing perhaps would be, being chosen means that you are different. We talked a little bit about being chosen this morning, about the fact that it may have happened to you at school. It certainly happened to me. I was always left on the bench when people were chosen. I had some R's this morning, which is very nice. It wasn't attempted to be a pity party, but when I think back to those times, always sat on the bench. But you see, being God's chosen, people perhaps don't know what to do with you. You're an alien in a strange land, and you are special. Why is this? You see, if we look at God's word, the whole world has been chosen, so we shouldn't be different from anyone else. But the issue is, by and large, to God's broken heart, the world rejects him. The world rejects him. And they shun his selection. In this country today, there's approximately 64 million people. And they've done the statistics, then the analysis. And they say probably only 1.5 million attend church regularly. But then if you look at that 1.5 million that attend church, there's only a limited of those who come to church who've accepted Jesus Christ and their Lord and Saviour. They have their salvation. Even a smaller number then are born again, which so many people think is an Americanism. It's not. This is what Christ says. You have to be born again. Fewer still then are filled with the Holy Spirit, because the vast majority of people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. Then only a limited number of those are his disciples. For it says in his word and the great commission that he has given the church, go and make disciples. Not everyone has accepted Christ. Not everyone has embraced the Holy Spirit. Not everyone has been born again. And then there are a limited number of disciples. I'm sure if you talk to many leaders within a church, they will say the workload is on so few. Many people today in our country, however, have no concept or understanding. Our children especially haven't got a clue who and what Christ is or what it is all about. And that is because they haven't received the information, or the information they have received is tainted and distorted. And unfortunately, that comes from many of our leaders in our church today. They forget that the church is responsible for bringing the message of Christ to the world. Some of it is also to do with our behavior. I'm sure many of us have experienced, unfortunately, within God's house, the way we treat each other can sometimes be worse than the way the world treats each other. We don't realize, we don't understand, you see, that church growth is dependent upon our behavior and our willing to share knowledge amongst each other. For you see, you are special. You are a few of the chosen few of the billions of people on this planet that you have been called. You have been chosen. You have been chosen by Christ. And it's incumbent upon you, his disciples, to spread the word within the world. You see, people need to see. I know this is a burden, but remember, Christ said, my burden is light. For he empowers and he gives us grace. There has to be something different about you. For you're an alien in a strange land. As Christians who are walking with Christ, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who have been born again, there has to be something different about you. For if you're the same of the world, we are in trouble. We are in difficulty. For Christ came to lift you up, to free you from that which would keep you stuck in the mire, which would keep you depressed and struggling. The second thing about being chosen is it brings status. It is a position. You have a standing. You have a title. You have a mark upon you. And I'm sure we've all heard, you a Christian and you're acting like that? Because we all slip from time to time, don't we? We all say the wrong things. We all sometimes comment about a situation. Is that a Christian attitude? But you see, what many people struggle to understand, they think we're arrogant as Christians, but we're not. But we do have a title. We do have a position, which doesn't mean that we lord it over people, but rather we are secure, we are safe, for we know that a Lord has died for us. And a Lord has chosen us. And a Lord who desires to empower us. You have gained a position. You are standing within and outside of God's house. And you have a mark upon you, for you are Christ's. And because of that, you should know the Lord. The world may not recognize your status, but heaven and hell does. The angels and devils see who and what you are. Because remember, when you come to Christ, what happens? The whole of heaven rejoices. If one sinner repents and comes back, if you've repented, and I'm sure most of you are, they've had a huge party for you. Sorry you missed it, but they've had a huge party. Probably when you go to glory and you're in heaven and you see a sinner come, then you'll be joining up and in that swell of that party. But heaven's had a party for you. The angels and devils see what you are and they tremble, the devils, especially at the authority that would be given to you if you would believe it and have faith. For Christ says that we can move mountains if we have the faith. Please don't feel guilty about that. Rather, try to embrace it and believe it. The world would like to pour falsehood into your life. They'd like to mislead you. But our God says, you are my daughter, you are my son. I believe in you. We can feel so inadequate sometimes. I shared a little bit this morning. It does disappoint me. I won't say it won't. The fact that the world can give us a medal, if you like. I said about being upon the sidelines. The fact that you're never chosen. But sometimes the world chooses us. And we can have a small amount of kudos for a short time. And that gives us a glow. It's better to have God's recognition. The one who lives in eternity, for that recognition would go with us into eternity. But I don't know if you've heard of a gentleman called Ted Williams. He's an American. He's always American. I don't know why. He once had a golden voice. He was the golden voice of America. He was successful. He was chosen by the world. But after a time of celebrity, it all just flowed through his fingers. His fame that he received, which is sought by so many, his hard work, he had a home, a family, 9 children. But the world introduced temptation into his life, drugs and alcohol. And they began to rule and ruin his life. Things are now changing for him. All that terrible time happened in the mid-80s onwards. But there's now a time of restoration in his life. But how quickly perhaps it could all fall away again as soon as, perhaps, because he's involved in the media, they could just turn away and say, no, we don't want you. We're not interested in you. But God is always interested in you. You see, when God chooses you, you see, it's nothing to do with a fad or how he feels on that day or what you've done in the past or what you'll do in the future. He chooses you for he has created you. He has formed you. You may think that you're not good enough. Perhaps the world has squeezed every bit of joy out of you. But you see, God, who is the greatest selector, desires you and wants you. You may think perhaps that you're not special. Well, I've just described to you the number of people in the world, and you keep on shrinking the numbers down and numbers down and numbers down. You must be special. You must be precious. For there are so few of us today. That's why I prayed earlier on that this place needs to be full, for the world needs even more, for the burden falls on very few soldiers. You are special. You are a child of God. You are extremely precious. You are unique. You're outside the norm. You are standing outside the crowd. You're very special and precious and gracious. The world may not think so, but you are. For you see, God believes in you. And if he believes in you, then you should believe in each other and yourself. If you believe and understand your position and know that you have been chosen, then come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and don't come with false humility. Don't feel, as many people would like to say to you, that you're a worm and that you are not worthy. But really, your head should be held high. You have authority to come before the throne of thrones, that you can come before Christ. For you have a status. You have an adopted heir, not with arrogance, but rather in pride, with a Savior who has saved you, who loves you, who cares for you, who desires you to be with him and who desires to respond to you. For he has gone through so much in this world for us. The third thing, perhaps, when you are chosen, God knew you before you were born. Before the creation of all things, you were in his mind. For it says in Romans 8, verse 29 and 30, "For whom he foreknew before the foundation of the world, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren, and those whom he predestined he also called, and these who he called he also justified, and these he justified he also glorified." Do you feel that glory in your life? Do you understand that concept of knowing Christ and the power of God that should be flowing through your body through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that you can move mountains, heal all those who come to you? For if the Lord desires it, he will respond to his people. Christ was always willing to respond to those who were in need, and he's put that responsibility upon us. But he empowers us with the power of the Holy Spirit and provides and opens the storehouses of heaven. God knew you before you were conceived, before your entry into this world, before your first heartbeat, before your very first movement, before you took your very first breath. Paul continues in Romans 8, verse 31. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" So unfortunate in this country today, isn't it? We can be so seduced into this about being negative, about the fact that we think perhaps, well, we're struggling, we'll never amount to anything. Yet we have a God who created the universe, and he measures that span in his hands, and he knows each one of us individually, and he says, "Just ask me what you would desire and I would bring it into the world if it fulfills my will in the plan for your life, for you have a relationship with me through my Son." I wonder if we have the courage to actually step into the belief of these things and see God at work. For you see, if God is for us, who can be against us? God has planned us. God has created us. God has formed us. He selected us. God loves us so much that he has called each one of you individually here tonight from the 7 billion odd people of this planet, so that you would follow him and make disciples and change this world. You may say, "Oh, it's too much, I can't, it's too much burden upon me. How on earth can I do this?" God will only give you what you can cope with. God will only give you what you need. God will then work his miracle if you give him half the chance through you and by you. You see, you as God's people were predestined that you would be free and alive within this world, that you would start your work with him. And that his glory and honor would be known in the world. You see, God chooses us in eternity for our reality, which has a fixed timeline. And God desires for you to be at work with him. God chose you before you were born. And nothing you do, nothing that you are, no, doesn't matter how spiritual you are, what good works that you do, your behavior, your thoughts, your sin, how bad you become, how much hurt you wish to inflict, God has taken you and chosen you, and he desires the best for you, and he wants you to be the best that you can be in this world. This means that as God's people, we do not bring God's name in disrepute, and we bring glory and honor to him. You see, God is interested in you because of who and what you are, what he created. Not what the world tries to form you into, but what you were created to be. This means that you, as God's people, cannot be deselected. You cannot be resold. You cannot be moved back to the sidelines. For you are in the center of the action. God desires to bless you, to encourage you, to forgive you, to make you worthy. God loves you. And he desires you to impress those around you to bring glory and honor to his name. Loved ones, tonight, rest in him. Relax in God. No longer be worried about, as mentioned tonight, whether I'm saved or not. It's rather, Lord, you've chosen me, you've selected me, enable me to be what you desire me to be in the world. Help me put my doubts away. Help me to throw all that rubbish out that's in my life, and rather help me move forward with you so I can see your glory in this world. So we could have revival again amongst your people. So this land would be turned upside down so it's the right way around. And your name would be honor and glory upon our lips rather than what the world desires it to be. And forgive us for this, dear God. An expletive which we should be so ashamed of for what God has done for us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for the people who are gathered here this evening. Dear Lord, they have so much potential because you are with them. They have so much grace and power and wisdom because you desire to whisper in their ears and send the power of your Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, they have such potential to change this land if they would only grasp and relax and rest in you. And then people will say, there goes God. Not that they're gods, dear Lord, but rather that they have God around them, inside of them, and your words upon their lips, and the power of love is in their eyes, and the blessing of God is in their touch. This world needs them, dear Lord. And I know you desire them. Help them be the people they need to be. I ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.